Is there anything not in there that you really wish would have been in there?
Well, if we could have gotten it in there, I would like for them to, I'd like for the movie to show a little more how I arrived asking for my leg to be amputated and how I demonstrated the maneuvers in a 290-pound diving outfit prior to going to the boardroom. See, that wasn't my first time walking in the 290-pound diving suit.
So you had to complete that task several times.
Yes.
Man.
When Mr. Bashir came into the studio, of course, I knew about his leg problem. If I hadn't have known, there was no way that I would have guessed that he had any kind of problem. He literally bounded up our steps. We've got several steps here, and we've got a pretty good step into the studio here. So you get along real well there. But tell us about the accident, the amputation, and once again, you go through another hurdle of becoming the first amputee to deep sea dive.
Well, I would like to say to you and Brian that going through diving school with all of this harassment, trying to sabotage my projects, trying to break down my spirits, did not scratch the surface of the hurdle and the hoops and the stress I had to get through to prove to the Navy that I could stay in it and do my job as a chief petty officer and as a deep sea diver being an amputee. That was the biggest challenge, more stressful in any part of my naval career.
Even more so than the after the accident.
That's what I'm referring to, after the accident, proving to the Navy that I could remain in the Navy as a chief petty officer and as a deep sea diver was the biggest challenge that of my naval career, and the diving school didn't scratch the surface to that.
Oh, that's really, that is amazing. That really is amazing. Now, you point out that maybe it should have or could have, if the movie had been 4 hours long, could have talked a bit more about, I mean, that's a bold decision. Now, a lot of people, if you haven't seen the movie, you might not understand. You didn't actually lose the entire leg right away, straight away. They did kind of reattach it after the initial accident. Am I correct in that?
I would like to use the word they made attempts to reattach it.
Pretty bad.
The tendons were still attached to my foot, and they had conducted about five operations hoping that the bone grafts and the skin grafts would work. But each time they would take the bandage off, my foot would fall off. Nothing was working. And then I made a decision after they told me that we can have you walking in a brace within 3 years with your leg 4 inches shorter than the other one. Well, after Billy Sunday mailed me that magazine and showed me where the pilot had flown an aircraft with one leg, then I made a decision, hey, amputate my leg where I can be a deep sea diver.
And that's very, very bold. You know, what if that didn't work? You know, that's a big risk. The leg's gone.
What if it didn't work? I'd use some of Jesse Ventura's words. If it didn't work, I made the decision, not listen to somebody else.
The time is racing along here. We've got a 30-minute tape up there, and we're 19 minutes into it. Let's talk about the making of the movie. A lot of people are just discovering it, the movie, but you've been living with this actual making of the movie. How long? 2 years? 2.5 years?
We started writing the script in 97, and I was involved in writing the script from day one, and we started filming the movie in August of 99, and we've been working steadily with the movie and getting it on the big screen ever since.
Yeah, I was going to mention that right away. Cuba Gooding Jr. Portrays you in the film. Seeing you speak and the way he portrays you on screen, I feel, is fairly accurate.
Well,
you're a very, very eloquent man. You're very well thought out. You seem to really, when you say something, you don't just say it to spout off words. You truly believe it and you put thought into it. And that's how you seem to come off on the screen. Was there any other choice ever for any other actor for that role?
Well, when we were writing the script and talking about the props for the movie, and when we would speak of someone to play me, no other person was mentioned other than Cuba Gooding Jr.
You two even kind of look alike in the face. You know, of course, he's a younger man, but at that age in your life, do you think that you even sort of look like he looks in the film?
Yeah, he favors the family, especially here in this picture. You see, when he's an E8 and make him 36 years old, he favors the family more than he did when he started playing the movie at 17.
Right, right. And back to that point, there's a very touching scene when your character is boarding the bus to go away to join the Navy, and your father hands you that old radio. Did that actually take place?
Well, we had an old radio that we used to listen to Joe Louis Fight, a battery operated, and that was the only radio we had in the house, and the old radio's been around for quite some time.
That's amazing. Of course, us being in radio, that scene was really touching to me. And radios were a luxury at that point in life.
Yeah, down on the farm, that's the only entertainment other than the Victrola that we had.
Late at night.
And I said it was battery operated. It had to charge the batteries. He told me, charge it when you get where you're going.
Now, the movie, of course, has just a large cast of stars. Sometimes in a shorter film, and you mentioned a 31-year naval career, you can't show everyone. Is there anyone you feel was a large part of your naval career, or someone that you feel maybe should have been in there that just didn't make it into the final cut?
Well, certainly there would be quite a few guys that I would like to, and also women that I would like to have seen in there, but the focus was on me because we attempted for 20 years to get a movie off the ground showing a more variety of people. But when I had a meeting with Bill Cosby, he didn't think that would ever happen, and I would have to settle for making a movie just focusing on me.
What has been your reaction after the movie has come out as far as maybe little kids? I know that you were down at Sonora Elementary and really enjoyed meeting with the kids and everything, but you're a role model. Some people don't want to be a role model, but you are definitely a role model. But what's been some of the reaction?
Well, just overwhelming, the responses that I get from little children, high school children, even college students, once they have seen the movie and learned about me being placed in naval history and as a deep sea diver. It's just overwhelming. The response that I get and the reaction of people and adults alike. They just seem to think that it's amazing. Some think it's impossible.
You talk about Joe Louis. I listened to his fights also when I was a young man, and Ezard Charles and some of those fights along that line there. Tell us about the premiere. It was out in L.A., I think, on November 1st. I was lucky to catch you like a day or two before you went out to L.A., but what was it like out there on premiere night?
Well, it was exciting, enjoyable, and takes a long time to get past all of the journalists on the red carpet, stand outside the little line ahead and walk down the red carpet and talk to a lot of news people and TV people, so it was exciting. I never seen as many cameras and mics in my life.
My daughter lived out in Newport News for a year, and we visited her several times out there, and that's a nice area once you get out there in Virginia Beach and so on, and that's where you live now. Any particular reason? That's sort of a Navy type of place out there, I guess.
Yes, there's a lot of Naval personnel in that area, and I like it out there in Virginia. I retired from the Navy there, although I left for a couple of years, and I was married at the time, and I also went to college in Maryland. And it's a good Navy town, and a lot of my old friends are there, and we come together from time to time to tell sea stories, and I sort of like it out there. But I'll tell you this, I have given it some thought, moving back to Kentucky. Because,
well, we'd love to have you back.
Glad to have you.
I certainly have given it some thought.
Well, this is a great area. And like I say, we didn't grow up here. And once you get here, it's Hardin County sort of claims you and really welcomes you. Brian, more about the movie?
Yeah, you mentioned the cameras and just how amazing it was for you to see all that focus and that attention. Now, you seem to be a rather humble person. For even all you've been through and all that's been done to you and that you've accomplished, you still seem to be just a regular guy. Do you feel like maybe some of that attention was a little too much? Maybe it was, you know, you mentioned you've done, you know, probably several hundred interviews. Do you think you deserve all that attention?
Well, I have to accept it.
Do you feel like people are making a bigger deal of it than you'd like? You seem to kind of almost feel like, well, you know, I just was a diver, you know.
Well, I don't consider myself a hero or a role model. I think when people go outside their home to look for a role model, they might be making a mistake. That's just my opinion. I hope somebody don't come down and get me for this. But I love everybody, and I respect my fellow man, and I've always been like that. And I love the Navy when I joined it, and I love it today. And I just have respect for people. I have no animosity in my heart for anyone.
Is there anybody in your Navy career, the reverse of making it tough on you, who actually, you know, tried to help you, support you, were your buddies, and so on?
Well, yes, Brian seen the movie there. Billy Sunday, he let me come over to his diving school and dive. The movie didn't show it, but see, you have to read this into it. When Captain Hanks said to him, when he fails, you retire, he said, he ain't going to fail. Those are the words that Billy Sunday used. Well, he had let me come to his school and walk for 5 days in that 290-pound diving suit, and I'm attached to the Naval Hospital. So, see, he was on my side then. And that's why I like to say to people that if I would have blown up and got angry and tried to fight somebody or did something to somebody when they were given this harassment, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today either. They would keep me out.
What's as we close down here, what's now, you know, this big project is over. What's next for you in your life, or what would you like to see? Would you like to see some kind of follow-up movie, or are you going to be involved in the making of movies in the future?
Well, I have been approached by some people to do a documentary and recap the Men of Honor. But what's in my life right now, I've signed on with an agent to do public speaking, and I would like to start off at colleges and universities, share with them a motivational type speeches, and that's what I would like to do for a while. I think that's what's in my life right now.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with Brian that you are an inspiration and certainly a motivational speaker. I like what he says here in his review. Two cities you never thought you would hear in the same sentence, Sonora and Hollywood, come together in the film Men of Honor. So, Carl Brashear, you have put Sonora, Kentucky on the map. Before this movie, it was known for buck snorting, for deer coming into town and snorting, however they got that name down there. But the people of Sonora are extremely proud of what you've done. The people of Hardin County are proud of you, and you are an inspiration. It's just a joy to talk with you, and we wish you the best.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And that's quite a story how they got that buck snort day. I don't have it in front of me to read it, but I think a train stopped there to take on some water, and some deer were looking at the train, and the engineer of the train said, damn, that buck can snort. So from that day until now, it's been called the buck snort day.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Just give a little motivational thought to some young person that might be out there.
Well, I first of all say I love the United States Navy. When I joined, I love it today. But I would like for everyone to set their goals high, love yourself, maintain a good positive attitude and a can-do spirit. Have respect for your fellow man and love yourself, and you can make it.
Carl Brashear, we're gonna give it the title that he wanted, Navy Diver and a Man of Inspiration. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Listening to Heart of the Matter, a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.